Father, you are so good to us, Lord. And Lord, we confess that truly we fall short. Lord, as we open up your word and we're in this portion of scripture, it really is challenging, Lord. It really is a mirror for us, Lord, to just show us, Lord, that we are so far apart and yet we're saved because you love us. But you're not done with us. You're faithful to complete that work that you've begun, Lord. And as you grow us and you shape us and mold us and, Lord, make us more into your Son, Lord, and into your nature. Lord, we learn those hard lessons of life. But Lord, you're always with us. And you haven't called us to do it on our own. You've called us, Lord, to do it, but with the power of your Spirit, because you've given us your Holy Spirit. So Lord, today we're here, and I pray that you would speak to us powerfully through your word, through your Spirit, and Lord, that we would take this with us and, Lord, apply it in our lives. So we thank you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Good morning, church. It's good to see all of you. Some of you I haven't seen in a bit, and it's such a blessing. I feel like I'm back at my Bible study. Yeah, it's great. If you are here for the first time, welcome to Calvary Chapel. We're going through the Gospel according to Luke. And we left off in chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, please open up to Luke chapter 6, verse 27 is where we'll pick up. And if you don't have a Bible, you can raise your hand and someone will get one to you. Luke chapter 6. If you would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? God's word, verse 27 says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also, and from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." You may be seated. If you're joining us for the first time, we are in the middle of a sermon, what's called the Sermon on the Plain, very similar to the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is giving his disciples, meaning you and I, some difficult lessons, some tough teachings, things that will challenge you and certainly have challenged me as I go through it. You know, if I'm honest, some of these things that I read on here, sometimes I wish I could just skip on over, but that is not allowable because God wants me to learn them and live them. And God not only will have me teach them, but he'll have me live them, and you as well, that we learn these things because God has called us as a Christian to a higher calling. He has called us to live a spiritual life. Christians should be different. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. And there's some difficult things in the Bible. some things that are not too difficult to understand, but certainly they are difficult to apply in our lives because it goes totally against the grain, totally against human nature. And it's like, Lord, I get this, but I can't do it. And you're absolutely right. Well, not without the power of the Spirit, I can't. There's no way. And as God, as Jesus speaks these things into our hearts, because listen, if you may have a Bible that has red writing, this is all red writing. This is from Jesus' heart to your heart and to my heart. And it's for us to take and meditate on and pray on and apply. So I'm not going to go back and do a recap of the last few verses here. We've done that sufficiently, I believe. We're just going to pick up in this section here where Jesus starts off with speaking of love. Love, right? It's a wonderful topic, love. You know, I love 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter about love. And I think we all do, right? I have the privilege to do premarital counseling or marriage counseling or just counseling in general. And I love those portions of scripture that I can just go to. You know, the God is love. Listen, this is what God loves looks like. And it's great because it just reminds us of this incredible love, supernatural love that God has for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved the world. And it's wonderful. And it's restorative. And it's powerful. It molds, it shapes, it reminds us, and it challenges us. This here really challenges us. Because as we just said, we are to love not just one another, but our enemies. And sometimes we can't have a so-called enemy in the church. Not really that we're enemy, we're family. But you guys know, sometimes it can be difficult to get along with one another. Not here in other churches. Maybe in Southeast. No, I'm just kidding. you know, it can be, right? It's a large family. We all have family members that sometimes it's difficult. We love them. And we're like, man, I love you, but I really need to give some grace and space. Some grace and space because it is a difficult thing. Well, here, we're challenged. We are, at least I'm challenged. Because Jesus calls us to love as he loves. And how does he love? Well, we just read it. But let me read to you 1 John verses 1 and 2. 1 John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. So here is Jesus manifested in the flesh, and John is testifying of him. He says, that life was manifested, whom we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that you your joy may be full. Jesus is the manifestation of love. And when we look upon Jesus, we see love. We look at the characteristics of Jesus, we see love. We see perfect love, not corrupt love like man has, but perfect love. And listen, this is a sharp contrast to human nature. And if we're honest with ourselves, this is going to be hard. This is hard when we read this. But let's take a look at it together. Look at verse 27 with me, what it says. It says, but I say to you who hear, listen, do you hear? Do I hear? Do we have ears to hear what the Spirit says? So notice at the very beginning, he says, there's some that are not going to want to hear this. Jesus says, there are just simply some that will not hear what I'm just saying here. So he who has ears to hear, this is what he says. Love your enemies. Oh, man. Ooh, that's hard. Wait, but he has more. Not just love them, not just words, I'm just not saying it. He says, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Notice that our Lord challenges us. He says, he who has ears to hear. In another translation, the NLT says, to you who are willing to listen. Are we willing to listen? And then he tells us how to love. How to love like him. Loving our enemies. Loving our enemies? Did he say loving our enemies? Loving our enemies. And how do we love them? Well, he tells us right here, indeed, by doing good to them. So it's practical. Not only am I speaking, am I saying I love this person, because we can say that, but he says, do good to them. There's action behind it. It looks like something. And then it says, with our words, we are to bless them. So we're to be kind to individuals and bless them. And then spiritually, we are to pray for them. That's how we're to love our enemy. Jesus calls us to love as he loves, and this is a hard commandment, an impossible commandment. You say, we can't do that. I have some people that really, really, you just don't know. It's an impossible commandment. It is impossible in the natural, in the flesh. It is impossible. And it's only made possible by the Spirit of God. Amen? Listen, some of us may have experienced that. We may not want to forgive somebody because we've been hurt. Everybody, if there's blood pumping through your veins, you've been hurt. We've lived, there's been difficulties, maybe we've been betrayed, whatever it may be, and it can be difficult. But something happens when we are obedient to God's commandment. When we do this, God meets us in man, in the natural, in the willingness, in the obedience, the supernatural, in order for this to happen, and it changes lives. It changes us first and foremost. Because I can't stay angry with someone that I'm praying for continuously. There's this love that comes about. And it doesn't, I do want to say this, that we don't put ourselves in that situation to continuously be abused or you know, allow that to happen to be a doormat. That's not what it says. What it says, what it says is that we're to forgive. And there's some that really is just grace and space. We can love them. We do not love the things that person's involved with, maybe the things that he's doing, but we love the individuals. I think we can all understand this. We have family members, friends or something that we wish or we can spend more time with them and we could have fellowship with them and walk with them. But we're like, man, I just can't. I can't do that. But he doesn't stop there. If that doesn't challenge you and me enough, he doesn't stop there. He continues to set the bar higher for the child of God. Are you a child of God? Look at what he says. Verse 29, he says, to him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. This is a tough one. You know, I wish God, if Jesus would have said something different. It reminds me of when the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, hey, good teacher. They said, teacher, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar and give to God what is God. Many of us wish that would have been answered differently, right? It is challenging. One who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also. Is that really what it says? This commandment rattled the inside of a person. I know it rattles mine. And our reaction to flesh is, in the natural, is to get even. But Jesus says, not for the child of God. Not for the child of God. And I think that we've all heard, if not all, most of us have heard this teaching from many different angles. You know, I've heard I've heard it explained in really in certain ways that I'm like, man, this person is really stretching that in order to be able to say it doesn't say what it says. You know, because we can do that with some things that we don't like. We're like, man, let me look at the scriptures. And we're no longer doing it inductively, but what we're doing is we're infusing our ideas in there and looking for something that justifies it and so forth. You know, you may have heard this story. It's very common. Many, many pastors and commentaries have shared it. The story about Billy Gray, the famous boxer, preacher. It said that on one occasion he was preaching the gospel. And he was an itinerant preacher. And some men, knowing that he was a boxer turned preacher, they went and over and mocked him. And one of them got up and just clocked him. And he dropped to one knee. And he says, what are you going to do about that, preacher? And he turned the other cheek, clocked him again, and he drops to a knee, gets up, takes off his jacket, and says, that's the only command my master has given me. We like that story, don't we? Listen, these are things that that can be difficult. I certainly believe, because some say that the explanation for this, so they expound it in this way. They would say, in the synagogue, when they kicked you out, you experienced this. You experienced humiliation, so forth and so on. And listen, they would slap you. And that was just more of an insult of a putting across a particular point. It wasn't necessarily the physical aspect of it. So it's an enemy, and you're not retaliating against that there, which yeah. Others would say it's more of an idiom of the day, similar to what we say that, man, that was a slap on the face, you know? That what they just said right now was a slap on the face, and it's not literal. But the point is, when we're assaulted, we're not to retaliate. And certainly, that I believe that is a point here. They're good explanation. I think they're good exegesis of the passages, but I don't believe that it's complete. I believe also that it means what it says. And Jesus is our example in all things. Everything that we were saying says Jesus is our example. He lived it. He showed it. He says, do this. He doesn't say, do as I say. He says, do as I do. And we're going to see throughout the scripture when we get to Luke 24, and we're going to read that Jesus was struck on the face. Over and over, his beard was pulled. And listen, he didn't retaliate. When he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. So there's the physical aspect of this as well in the context of suffering for his namesake, of living out our faith. So I believe it says what it says. And yes, we're not to retaliate, but also I believe that it's literal as well. Remember that Jesus said, blessed are you when men hate you, when they revile you for the Son of Man's sake. He said that just earlier. Blessed are you when they do these things, because great is your reward in heaven when these things happen, when it is justifiable in the sense, in the eyes of God, in the sense of saying, man, I am just living out my faith. I am preaching the gospel. And it's not because I was a knucklehead and was just going and doing it. It was just simply living out my faith before the Lord, sharing the word of God, being persecuted for his name's sake. And at least for me, I pray that these situations don't come up, but if they do, if they ever do, I also believe that God gives the grace in that situation to do what he calls us to do. Because God gives us the grace. He gives more grace in those situations when we're following him. He calls us to do things that are impossible, but he doesn't just leave us there and say, doing it in your own flesh. I do want to say, though, that there is a counterbalance to this, that I don't believe that Jesus says you can't defend yourself or your loved ones in general. The Bible says in Psalms 82:3, it says, defend the poor and the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, free them from the hand of the wicked. Jesus himself overturned tables, right? He used the whip of cords and drove people out of the temple. Why? Because they were abusing his people. His house was to be a house of prayer, and they were preying on the people instead of praying for the people. There is righteous anger in that sense, but it's not saying that we are defenseless. God calls people to be soldiers, police officers, and just if somebody comes in your home, God has called us to defend our family. So we need to understand things in their context. I have a short clip here that maybe Jimmy can play. I think that this will sort of illustrate this point. Forget it. That little boy got nailed, possibly his sister, and you know, and he's like, I'm not gonna get even. I'm not, because I love her. And maybe you witnessed this with your own kids. I know my kids, they get tired of me using them as their illustration, but my grandkids, you guys know my little granddaughter. She is the sweetest, kindest girl, well-behaved, best disposition ever, would never hurt a fly. And you guys all know I'm lying, right? She is spicy. Listen, she is spicy. She is sweet, but boy, oh boy. And as I see my grandkids play, Jay is the middle one, Bear is the oldest. And listen, Audrey with Jay, one hits one hits the other, and whoa, you got to play referee. But it's interesting with Bear, sometimes she goes and hits him and does this, and Bear's like, Audrey, no, you know? And he doesn't retaliate. He's like, man, this is my little sister. I don't want to hurt her. You know, he sort of takes it. I mean, he doesn't always do that, but most of the time he does that, you know? But I think that is the same case, right? Love. Love. Verse 30, where he continues. It's challenging. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Give to everyone who asks? Everyone? If I'm walking down the street and, hey, listen, this guy who's drunk or under the influence of drugs and say, hey, give me some money. You're a Christian. Give me some money. Everyone? No. No. And the totality of Scripture teaches us that's not the case. This is in context. We're going back to the enemy and so forth, of where it's at. If I contribute to somebody that's taking drugs, that's going to use it for drinking, that's doing this, what am I doing? I'm contributing to their sins. Listen, when I ask my Father, my Heavenly Father, I say, Lord, I pray, and I'm asked for something that's not good for me, he's not going to give it to me. It doesn't mean to give indiscriminately, or else we would all be on the streets, our families would be on the streets. That is not at all what it means. Because God doesn't do that. He says, ask in my name, Jesus says, and I will do it. In my nature, in who I am, in my will. James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So we won't give to people that continue to sin. We don't enable them, but bless them. It's more like if it might be a person, a so-called enemy, if you would, in the past, that they're now in a dire situation. Maybe it's a neighbor that you haven't gotten along with, and this person now is in a bad situation. And listen, he swallows his pride and goes to you, and he says, hey, listen, man, this is where I'm at, and And he says, give. If it is within your power to give, give and expect nothing in return. And you know what? Jesus will be glorified in that. They said, this is a Christian man, a man that forgives, a man that loves the Lord. Such a powerful witness. And we shouldn't do it because of a witness. We should do it because we have the Spirit of God in us. And we should have the love of God and say, yeah, we love this individual. And we see the situation. We see the totality of it. And I want to love on them as God has loved me. But if you love those who love you, notice here, Jesus challenges us once again. He says, hey, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Those are easy to love. I love my wife. She loves me back. My kids, family, church. He says, you're not doing anything outside of the ordinary there. Everyone does that. You're to stand out. I'm to stand out as a Christian. What's different about us if that's all we do? And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. As Christians, we're called to live a life that stands out in the midst of the world. And everything that Jesus is calling us to do here is contrary to the natural man. It's contrary. But listen, we're not to be natural, right? Natural man. We're to be a spiritual man, spiritual person. We're to walk in the Spirit. But love your enemies, do good, and lend hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. Jesus says, man, don't even worry about these things, the temporal things. I have a much greater reward for you in heaven that you can't even imagine. Heavenly reward is so much greater than anything that this world could ever offer. Anything. And he continues, he says, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil, therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Do you know that Jesus is kind to the unthankful and to the evil? Think about that. Listen, make no mistakes, he hates evil. He hates it. Psalms 149 says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And Jesus adds to the sermon, he says, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust in Matthew. God calls us to be like him. And once again, I admit, these are impossibilities in the natural. It's hard in the flesh. And listen, as I've gone through this portion of Scripture, my hope was to go through chapter 6, maybe do it in two portions. Go through this portion and go right on over. We're in part 4, and we have one more left after this. No, God says, no. This is for you. This is for you because I know I've been challenged. It's challenging. In the flesh we can't, but then that's the point. That's the point. This portion of Scripture is really a mirror for you and for me. For you and for me to show us how far we are from the nature of Jesus Christ. How far? And notice here, there's a transition here, the word, transitional word that says, therefore, or in light of all this, verse 36 says, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. We're to be like our Father, merciful, right? And who likes mercy in their lives? None of us? I don't like mercy in my life. You don't like mercy in your life? I certainly do. And he has been so merciful to me. He has shown me mercy all my life, continues to show me mercy. And he says, I'm to do the same thing. The mercies of God are incredible. And, you know, when we're in that point where God is gracious and he is merciful and we're like, Lord, you are so good. My response to you is, Lord, how do I serve you? What? How? Change me, mold me. And you're just like undone. You know, and then the next day we are, what was that again? You know? His mercies are new every day. Our mercies should be new every day with others, because we're to be like our teacher, like our Father, like our Christ. And then he continues, are you being challenged? No? Do we have ears to hear what the Spirit says? Because, man, this is right there, guys. It's challenging. He's not done. But wait, there's more. 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Do we want people to be quick to judge us, to condemn us? Or do we want people to be quick to forgive us? Remember what he said earlier in verse 31. He says, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Listen, this doesn't mean we're not to judge, but to judge righteously in the same manner that we want to be judged. We're to use the same standard that we use for others upon ourselves. Because this verse is always quoted. I mean, this I don't know how many people have quoted this verse to me. You're judging me. That's what the Bible says, right? Don't judge. We make judgments every day. God calls us to judge. He calls us to inspect each other's lives. Are you in the faith? Am I in the faith? Not to judge to condemnation, but righteous judgment. You know, and if I'm quick to judge others, I don't hear any background. I just see them like, oh man, that guy deserves, that gal deserves this and this and that. And I am so quick to have that hard heart to point fingers at others for the same thing I am doing. I'm expecting others, holding others to a higher standard. We're to use the same standards for others as for us. In Matthew 7, 2, it says, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. If others would judge you the same way that you do, that I do, what would that look like in our lives? What would that be like in our lives? Even more, what about if God would judge us in that fashion? What about if he would do the same thing? Well, this was in the negative. Now he puts it in the positive. This is Jesus flips it to the other side of the coin. Take a look at what he says now in verse 38. Negative, now positive. It says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And boy, I like this. You guys like this? This is the positive, man. I'm like, yeah, this is great. Be given unto me, shaken together, running over. I mean, that's like when you grab something and you're pushing it down to make it fit. And it's like, hey, let me give this to you. But it only goes so far. Well, hold on. Let me push this down and get more in there. That's how God says he gives to us. God is a debtor to no man. And when we give, when we're generous, it will be given to us. In this fashion, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you, he says. And Proverbs says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. And certainly this is true of our resources, but it's also true of our mercy and our love, of which he is speaking of here. Am I merciful? Am I giving in this fashion? Notice what he says next. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher. But notice, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And we need to be careful who we follow. If the blind lead the blind, they're both going into the same ditch, the same the same end. A disciple is not above his teacher. If the person I follow is blind, I'm just going to be just as blind as well, and the end result's going to be the same. But listen, we're to follow our good teacher. Amen? Nicodemus said to Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do?" And that's who we're to be like, our good teacher. We want to be merciful. We want to judge righteously and graciously. And he continues, and he says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye?" Hypocrite. We stop there. How many times have we done that? "Hey, let me tell you what you're doing wrong. And I can't even see. They got a big old log in my eye." It's so easy to see our sins in other people. And it looks ugly. And we can identify it quickly because it's right in there. And Jesus says, no, once again, he doesn't say don't judge. He just says, "Hey, listen, get right. Understand your position. Do it righteously. Remove that out of your eye. Walk with the Lord. Learn from Jesus," and so forth. And this is the word of God. This is what it says. This is righteous judgment right here. His word, Jesus, is the righteous judge. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. I don't know about you, but as I've read this, as I've gone through this, I can understand the disciples a little bit more when they said in John 6:60, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can understand it?" Now, hard to understand, right? We can understand, but difficult to apply. But then, of course, that's what Jesus said. That's sort of the point. It is hard, impossible. And that's what Jesus started out with. "But I say to you who hear," do we have ears today to hear what the Spirit of God says? In the book of Revelation, 7 times, it says, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." 4 times in chapter 2, it says that. "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Hey, this is God's church right here. And I don't know how this word hits some of you. I know how it hit me. And it's like, "Lord, help me. Help me. Help me live this. Help me transform me. Continue that process of sanctification in my life." And then I look to Jesus, because everything we read, Jesus demonstrates for us. And he calls us as Christians, as his children, to do the same. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Listen, not imputing the trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word reconciliation. To you and me. That's what he's committed. And that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You and I are ambassadors to Christ. And that's what he's saying, that we are to implore others, hey, be reconciled to God in the manner that we live our lives, in the manner that we share with others. God calls us to be transformed and conformed into the image of Jesus more and more, day by day. And I just want to say this. This is not about salvation. This is about transformation. About transformation. Being more and more like Christ causes us to be transformed and conformed more and more like him. Amen? Is this challenging? No? There's silence in the room today. I don't know. Listen, we're going to take communion today. And as Cassie comes up and leads us another worship song, we're going to have some men come up and grab the elements. Please hold on to them and we'll take communion together. I think it's sweet that we're reminded that we're not there. Listen, we're growing. We're learning day by day. And we fall short. When we truly compare these things in God's nature, Jesus' nature, that he lived it out for us. He gave us the example. And we look at it and we're like, wow, Lord, I am. Help me. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you died for us. Thank you that your mercies are new every day, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would be those that are merciful, just like our Heavenly Father is merciful. Lord, that not compromising. You don't call us to compromise. You call us to live righteously. You said, be holy as I am holy. Lord, that can only be done by the power of your Spirit. And I pray you would pour out your Spirit upon our lives, Lord, upon this church. We need you. Every day we need you. And truly, you said, blessed are those that hunger, Lord, hunger and thirst, really for righteousness, Lord, for you. So we thank you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.